Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Remember, our series on Galatians is entitled Stand Fast. Tonight I'd like to deal with this subject, a foundation of faith. And I'll be brief tonight. I know our time's already a little bit gone, but I'm really thankful that we did that tonight. I think it's good for you to hear these men. It's also good for them to get in this pulpit and feel the weight of what it takes, and also to feel how quickly time goes. This morning I was about 10 minutes past where I normally like to keep it on Sunday mornings. We were about 10 after 12. And so I'll be brief this morning to kind of make that this evening to make that up to you. But I have some things God's laid on my heart as we continue this series. I apologize, we've had to jump around a little bit. We've had different things on Sunday nights. But God knows all that. But this is very, very important. So I want you to get this. Please, if you will, pay attention. I'll preach fast if you'll listen fast, okay? In verse 1, I want you to notice the tendency for deception. Our tendency for deception. Notice, if you would, verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians. Is that not up on the screen yet? We got that up? There you go. Tendency for deception. Notice, if you would. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Paul says this as he writes to the church of Galatians. Who has bewitched you? What have they done to fool you? Can I say that many times we, just as human beings, sometimes it is very easy for us to be deceived. Sometimes it's easy for us to follow something that might look good or sound good, but we have a tendency just to kind of believe what we've been taught. And in society nowadays, there's not a lot of substance in things. People are kind of taken with what's new, taken with what's modern, taken with what has all the glitter and all the glamour. They're taken by what's popular. Are you all with me tonight? Our society is taken by what's popular. What's everybody else doing, and what are they going to? And oftentimes we're just led astray, and we're so easily deceived. Two things I notice here, Paul says. First, when you and I are easily deceived, number one, it's a sign of foolishness. He said, oh, foolish Galatians. Secondly, when you and I are easy to deceive, that's a sign of forgetfulness. Here's why. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? That word bewitched means to almost put you in a trance, to fool you, to catch you at a weak moment. He said, who has done this? Why would you believe things that are so against the truth you've been taught? He said, that's a sign of foolishness. But then he says this. Notice the second part of that verse. That ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth. He said this, I mean, you have seen, you have heard, you've been taught the truth of God's word has been right in front of you. Even Jesus has been right in front of you and even crucified in front of you. Can I tell you this, that these folks being deceived was a sign that they were foolish, but it was also a sign that they were forgetful. Can I say this to Kerwin Baptist Church? Oftentimes when folks are deceived, and you say, what do you mean deceived, preacher? Well, can I say this, that we just have a generation that's just going away from what they've been taught. Right. That is going away from what God's word makes clear. Because something looks good or sounds good, or that's where everybody else is doing it, and that's the direction every other church is going. And can I say, that's a sign of foolishness. Right. That's a sign of people that have a surface Christianity and not a deep one. Amen. That's a sign of people that are foolish. So how does a person get foolish? By not getting in God's word. You see, wisdom comes from God's word. Wisdom comes from digging in God's word and listening to God's word and rightly dividing God's word. Foolishness is a sign that we haven't been in God's word. And may I say, a lot of churches have changed and a lot of Christians have changed because they haven't been in God's word. They're doing a lot of other things, but they're really not teaching what God's word says. Second thing is, this is often a sign of forgetfulness. You see, they forget what God's done for them. They forget how right in front of them God has done some great miracles in years past. So oftentimes we forget what God's done for our family. We forget the protection that God has provided. And we have a tendency for deception. So Paul writes them. Notice if you would in verse 2 through 4, we now see the truth for our deliverance. He says this in verse 2. This only would I learn of you, which means this. Paul is saying, this is one thing I would love for you to learn. I would love to be able to teach you this. Notice this. look at verse 2. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Paul looks at them and he says, all right, you have gone back to obeying the law. You've gone back to doing the ritual. You've gone back to doing those things that you were saved out of. He said, let me ask you something. Did you receive the Spirit from faith or did you receive the Spirit from the law? Well, where did they receive the Spirit from? By faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. So he's saying this, the law didn't even give you redemption. The law didn't give you the Spirit. But now that you have the Spirit, you've gone back to the law instead of the Savior. Notice this, if you would, in verse 3. Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be in vain. Listen to me. I have a feeling that this might be a little tough for you to digest, so I'm going to try to explain it really good. I want you to listen to me. This is the truth of our deliverance. The law demands, faith delivers. The law always demands, but faith always delivers. If I could put it this way, that means this. If you're going to live by the law, then the law has demands that you cannot live up to. But you and I have been saved through faith. And our faith is in the Savior. And He delivered us through faith. The law does nothing but demand. Jesus delivers. And He said this, are you so foolish that you know what? Now that you've been saved and have the Spirit, you think now the law will make you perfect? The law couldn't even give you salvation. But now you're going right back to the law. Can I say this, that oftentimes you and I have a tendency to be deceived? But may we find the truth for our deliverance. Now look, if you would, at verse 5. This is a different section of this chapter. We're going hurriedly. Notice this. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now, I want you to see a couple things. Number one, I want you to notice the power of faith. Look at verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the Spirit? Now listen to me. By faith, what happens by faith? Two things we notice in this verse. Number one, there was miracles wrought. Second, there was ministry given. Can I say this? He said, he that ministereth, was he able to do that through the law? Or was he able to do that through faith? Can I say this, that it takes faith to be able to minister to people? Oftentimes you and I will say, well, it's just hard serving God nowadays, and it's hard ministering to people. Let me tell you why it gets hard, because we start to lose our faith. We don't minister to people because we see results. We minister to people because we have faith that God will give results. Do I have an amen right there, Kirwin Baptist Church? Listen, I know you're warm. I see you fanning. I think we have problems with our air conditioning. But I want you to listen. Please get this. Miracles never happen by the law. Miracles happen by faith. And he's writing to these people and he says this. If you go down this road of going back to the law instead of towards faith, what that means is this, you're going to give up your opportunity to minister, and you're going to give up the opportunity for God to do miracles among you. Listen to me. The Bible says this, that God will work miracles if we would just have a mustard seed of faith. So we notice first the power of faith. There's ministry and there's miracles. Notice secondly, the precedent of faith. He gives us an example. Look at verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. There's our precedent. There's our example. He gives us Abraham. What about Abraham teaches us about faith? What is it about Abraham that was so great about faith? Look up here at me. I want you to get this. He believed God before Jesus even came. Abraham had faith that a Savior would come before the Savior even came. And God said because he had faith in that, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Secondly, listen to this. Abraham was promised a reward before the reward ever came. God said, Abraham, if you'll do such and such, I'll reward you. And Abraham believed God. Let me tell you why Abraham was a great man of faith. Because he had faith in a Savior that hadn't even come. And he had faith in a promise that God had made before God even delivered it. Right. You and I need that kind of faith. We need to be able to serve God, not so that he can prove it to us, but we need to serve God and believe him before he even gives it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Notice, thirdly, the possibility of faith. Look at verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Who is he talking about here? Jews. Notice, if you would, verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. Who's the heathen? The Gentiles. That God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, and thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. What is he saying? Number one, he's saying this. God promises reception to those who put their faith in him. Notice verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Listen to me. That means this. God has promised Jew or Gentile, black or white, rich or poor, wealthy or unwealthy, it doesn't matter. If you are of faith, that means if you are a child of God through faith, if you have faith in God, you are accepted. Amen. That's a big deal to you, by the way. Amen. And it's a big deal to me. That means this, we don't have to have a lot of things to offer. In fact, we don't have to have anything to offer. We don't even have to have a right by lineage to it. God says, if you have faith in me, you're accepted. You're accepted. You see, all God wants is for us to have faith in him. And we're accepted. That's why the Bible says it is accepted according to what a man hath, and not according to what he hath not. If you and I will just exercise faith in our God, we're accepted. Second, God promises redemption to those who put faith in Christ. Notice, if you would, verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Listen to me. God promises that he'll receive you if you put faith. Second, God promises he will redeem you if you put faith in him. That means this, Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter. You put faith in Christ, he will redeem you. Amen. Notice the third thing, amen, and I think this is good. God promises reward for all that have faith in Christ. Look at verse 9. So then they which be of faith are what? Blessed with faithful Abraham. Listen to me. Remember the whole thing for this book. Paul is ministering to the Gentile. The Jew was the chosen people. Gentiles were heathen. Gentiles were unaccepted. They had no right, no lineage with Christ. But Paul realized that Christ died for all. And he began to go preach to the Gentile that even Gentiles can get saved and put their faith in Christ. Listen to me. That means this. Paul was saying to Galatia, listen, not only were you received in Christ if you have faith, not only are you redeemed in Christ if you put your faith in him, but here's the best thing. God will bless you and reward you if you put faith in him. Amen. Listen to me, dear friend. You don't just get saved through faith. You're blessed through faith. Amen. God rewards you when you put faith in him. I don't know about you, but we need a foundation of faith. I believe with all my heart, God can do things here at Kerwin Baptist Church that is totally beyond anything we could imagine, ask, or think. I believe God could do things here that we could not explain. I believe God, and by the way, He is already starting to do them. If I had the time and had the chance to tell you some things that have transpired this week, it is nothing short of a miracle from God. We have had people saved this week that you would have thought never could be saved. God is beginning to work. Listen to me. But God will not do a work to people that have not put their faith not only in Him for salvation, but in Him for blessing. People that say, God, I believe that You'll do it. I believe, God, that You can grow my Sunday school class. God, I believe by faith You can grow my bus route. God, I believe my marriage can be blessed. I believe You can use my children to do great things for You. We have to have faith in God for blessing.
Amen.
Too often you and I have more faith in ourselves than we do God. Let me say this at the end of this chapter. I'm not going to deal with the end, but just three more verses. I want you to notice this, and I'll let you go. Look at verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. And that means this. Number one, you and I are cursed by the law. Do you know that? If you try to live by the law, you're already cursed. Because there's no hope for anybody trying to earn their way to salvation. And also, you're cursed if you're trying to earn your way to blessing. Did you get that? You're cursed if you try to work your way to salvation. But you're cursed if you try to work your way to blessing. Listen, I mean, God does not bless and reward you because you're some great person. God blesses and rewards you because you put your faith in Him. Not in your ability. And so oftentimes you and I think, well, I'm going to do all this and God's going to bless me for it. Oh, I'm going to give my time and I'm going to do this and God will appreciate that so much for me that God's going to bless me. Listen to me. Let me tell you how you get blessing from God. When you just put faith in Him. You say, God, I can't do it. Only You can. And I need You to do it. And I'm putting faith in You and I believe and I'm claiming by faith You will do it. I had the privilege of leading a couple to the Lord this week that I claimed by faith months ago that God would save them. They didn't even come to this church. We didn't go to any church. But I just said, God, I claim these folks to You that You will save them. And God rewarded that faith. You know what you and I need to do? We need to quit trying to earn blessing from God and we need to start putting our faith in Him. And when you say, God, I can't earn nothing. I don't deserve anything. But God, You have the one that can give everything. You're the one that can do it. God, You're the one that can move mountains. You're the only one that can. And I'm putting faith in You. Quit trying to fix your marriage. Let God fix it. Quit trying to accomplish things on your own. Let God accomplish them. Put your faith in Him. We see in verse 10, we're cursed by the law. Notice, if you would, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. We notice, second, we're condemned by the law. Not only are we cursed by the law, but we're condemned. By the way, you know what the Bible says? If you and I are guilty in only one point of the law, we are guilty of all.
Right.
Dear friend, if you're here and you think somehow you could earn your way to salvation, I'm here to tell you, you are condemned already. So we were cursed by the law and we are condemned by the law. Look, if you would, at verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Hallelujah, praise God right there. That means this, we were cursed by the law, condemned by the law, but third, we've been changed by the Lord. You and I were cursed by the law, so you know what Jesus did? He became cursed for us. He died for us so that we wouldn't have to be judged by the law, that we could now be redeemed through His blood. Notice this lastly, look at, if you would, verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham, what did we just read about earlier? The blessing of Abraham, God promises, if you put faith in me, you will have the blessing of Abraham. Look at verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's you, by the way, and me. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It means not only are we changed by the Lord, but we're consecrated by the Lord. What does it mean to be consecrated? It means to be set apart. Consecrated means to be chosen, to be blessed. Can I say this? If Kerwin Baptist Church is not a church of faith, then we are in trouble. If we are a church of works, but not a church of faith, we're in trouble. Where the danger comes, for years we've told people, do this, do that, don't do this, don't wear this, don't do that. That sometimes we have become a people of works, and we have forgotten to be a people of faith. Our works don't bring God's blessing. Our faith in Christ brings God's blessing. Dear friend, look at me. You can't earn your way to heaven. And you can't earn God's approval. God said if you put faith in him, you are approved. That's it. Listen to me, I want you to get this. Faith without works is what? Dead, the Bible says. Say, Brother Hotry, what are you trying to say about this thing of faith? I believe that Kerwin Baptist Church, if we will put our faith, if we will be people of faith, why are we going, Lord willing, to a faith promise giving system for our missions next year? This is a step of faith. Brother Joe and I have talked about it a number of times. Why are we going to this kind of system? Here's why. Because when we commit that, God, I'm going to give this to you, I'm committing to give this to you by faith that you will provide it for me. It is us putting faith in God before he's even given what we've promised. It's us having faith that God will meet this need, so I'm going to go ahead and commit to it even though he hasn't even given it yet. It's a step of faith. What is faith promise giving? It's you above your tithe. Above your tithe. Not your tithe. You tithe. We're supposed to tithe. Faith promise is what you're willing to give above your tithe to missions. And that's how we form our missions budget. You say, preacher, I have trouble tithing. I don't think I could give anymore. Well, that's why you, by faith, God lays something on your heart. And you say, all right, I commit during the year to give this much because I believe by faith God is going to bring that in for me to give it. You say, well, that's an awful lot to ask. Oh, I wish I could take you on the road with me to some churches. I wish I could take you to churches that are half the size of our church. And they have probably half the income that our average members make. And they're supporting 100, 150, 200 missionaries a month. Oh, listen to me, dear friend. You start putting faith in God, he starts delivering. God cannot wait to prove himself to you how great he is. Paul says, Galatia, let me tell you why you're starting to be deceived. You become foolish and you become forgetful. And here's why. You have forgotten what it is to put faith in Christ. Faithful people. God help Kerwin Baptist Church to take steps to become a faith-filled church, believing that God will do it before he does it. Claiming by faith that God can provide it before he even provides it. And you just sit back and watch what God will do. Can I say this? Some of you ought to claim by faith a coworker, a family member. You ought to claim by faith, God, by faith, I believe you will save that individual. You ought to start praying and pleading and begging God
and by faith claim that person before God. God, I believe you're going to save them. Some of you have family members that need saved. Now look up here at me. You start praying and claiming by faith. And over a period of time, if that family member gets saved, you watch how excited you get. Because you claim by faith something that didn't even happen yet. And when God starts to deliver on those promises, and all of a sudden you see how great God is and how God does things you didn't even think he could do, all of a sudden you start getting excited as a Christian. All of a sudden you start putting more faith in God because you know how powerful he is.
Amen.
I tell you what, after God did in my life this week, I've got a list of people. I've got a gentleman, and I'm becoming accountable to the church. I've got a gentleman that I've talked to my wife about. I know him somewhat. I don't know him really well. He really is closer friends to some of my wife's family. God woke me up on four different occasions over the past 2 years in the middle of the night with that man's face in my dreams, and I had dream scenarios of winning him to the Lord. And I would wake up, and it almost like God saying, all right, go talk to him, do work out something to go witness to him. And I would say, but Lord, he's not going to like me. He's going to think I'm an idiot. He's going to be offended. He's going to think that was rude of me. And I went through all these reasons. Listen to me, dear friend. You know why I haven't gone to see him yet? Because my faith was small. My faith was small. But I've seen what God can do this week. I've seen how God can change a person's heart. Make them receptive. Not just receptive, but make them hungry for the Word of God. You know what I believe? I believe that that gentleman might could have already been saved if I'd have had enough faith like I should have. Because God laid it on my heart for a reason. And I'm determined, God, if you'll let me as a preacher, I will exercise faith in you. And God, I believe you'll reward me when I put faith in your ability, not mine. What is it in your life? Who is it in your life that needs saved? Kerwin Baptist Church, look at me. We start seeing a bunch of people saved at this church, it will change everything. It'll even change you. I'm sorry, my throat's bad, but just bear with me. Are you listening to me? It'll change us. All of a sudden, you got people that can't wait to get to church. All of a sudden, you got people that aren't checking the watch on Sunday mornings. All of a sudden, you got people that say, boy, I wish you had church every night. I had a family this week that's been visiting with us, and they text me this week, and they say, we look at each other every day saying, boy, I wish they had church every night this week. I'm like, well, bless God, you can tell they're not a member yet. I have people texting me right now things that I'll preach, and they'll ask questions. I have a list of questions, and they'll text and say, now, what does this mean, and where does this mean? And I listened to you. I took every note that I could do. People that are hungry, people that are just getting truth sometimes for the first time in their life, and they're excited about it, and they want to be here, and they want to hear singing. They haven't been hurt by everybody over the years, and they don't have a negative attitude over everybody yet. They're here because they want to be.